Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by star one on your telephone keypad at this time. If you wish to withdraw your question, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. So once again, if you wish to ask any questions, please press star or asterisk one on your telephone keypad. Today's first question is coming from Siddharth Bengrow of Commerzbank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hassan Grohe from Commerzbank. Good morning, gentlemen. Four questions from my side. The first one on robotics, on the orders. We've seen orders coming down from the first quarter at 236 million to now 185 million in the third quarter, and the book-to-bill after the first 9 months is just very, very slightly above 1.01 times. So could you give us an indication for what you see in terms of orders for the fourth quarter and potentially also what you see in the pipeline, so to speak, for the year 2015? That's the first set of questions. Second one on systems here on RISE. Could you just give us an idea how sales developed in the third quarter over the second quarter and what you do expect for the fourth quarter? I'm just curious to get that information because we've seen EBIT improving by about 3 million per quarter. I'm just trying to find out and figure out really what the key drivers are behind that very, very supportive development. And then one question on the order backlog at systems, the 1 billion that you currently have in the segment as of end of September, how fast will the orders convert into sales, i.e. How much really relates to 2015 and how much of the order backlog relates to 2016? And then a last question on gross margins. Certainly, I think the trend overall has been very, very favorable over the course of the year 2014, despite the potential headwinds from the yen devaluation. When do you expect really this to shine through? You said in 2015 this should become more of an issue at robotics. However, so far, and despite really the devalued yen, we haven't seen any negative effect so far. So I'm just willing to get a better grip on really what the potential magnitude of these headwinds from the yen devaluation could be. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your questions. Let me start, and Peter's also to jump in. The robotics, the order entry was 985, and what we see is that we don't see any weakening of the market. Instead, we see that the robotic market is even growing stronger in the future. So this quarter is not any indication of downturn or something like this. So we just have seen the latest IFR numbers where you can see that the robotic market is growing at around 10% for the next year. It comes just from the very stable general industry development where we are adding week by week and month by month, and then you have a more volatile automotive frame contracts, and then you see something that maybe in one quarter it's a little bit lower, but again, general trend is really up, and also the book-to-bill is nothing to take into consideration. We see that the robotic market is growing further. Also for 2015,
one question in that context, do you expect then to be able to at least grow with the market in 2015, i.e. on about 10%?
No, the IFR numbers is you have to look at really in the separate region. So clearly we want to grow above market in Europe. We want to capture market share in the U.S. and we want to participate in the growth in China. We want to drive the growth in China. We are not going to participate in Japan. So we want to grow between 5% and 10% to try to be more on the higher end. But that we come in at the beginning of the year when we can give you guidance about the growth potential. There is a market, and also you have to look about the type of robots and the which types and which regions are growing. But clearly, want to grow in robotics between 5% and 10%. Looking at the backlog, the third question. Peter's going to have the second question on the rise in the sales. On the backlog, we have 1.3 billion backlog, which also gives us a good visibility for 15 and for 16. We do not have the exact timing of the backlog. You know, normally you have a backlog of 9 to 15 months in systems, so the assumption will be that around two-thirds to three-quarters are in 15. Some of them might go to 16, but the assumption should be that at least 75% is for next year. And again, We have also good visibility on the U.S. market, where we see that the U.S. Car manufacturers are very positive, very heavily investing. We see much potential in Asia, and we are a little bit more careful, but there's no weakness in Europe. So for 15, we have already a good visibility on the systems business, which is longer lasting than the order backlog of robotics. On the cross margin and the yen, we have seen two days ago that the Japanese central bank again was buying back bonds, so the yen again was weaker. We have, and the team has achieved a very good development of the EBIT margin, and you know, we had guided 2 years ago that we want to reach 12% EBIT in robotics, and you can see today's 11.6%. I always have to take into account that we had 10, we tried to, the long term is clearly 12 and above 12%, and the good effects on the efficiency program and also the strengthening of the service business is helping us to fight against this development of the yen, and the weaker yen as a result of this bond buyback will clearly have an impact in 2015. But as we have shown in 2014, we're working on our cost structure. We are increasing our service. We are going to be stronger in China. That all helps us to work against this devaluation of the yen.
Okay, thank you. And the last question on rice,
Then coming to rice, we started with a very low order backlog in quarter one at rice, but then got more and more order intake. So the first quarter was relatively low turnover. Then in quarter two and three, we were between 25 and 30 million. So year to date, we are slightly above 80 million sales. And for the full year, we expect something between 115 and 120 million euro for rice as a turnover.
Okay. I think long term, in addition to this, on the structure on page A, where you see the pillars of the Kuka house, with Kuka Industries, rice, and the TS business, clearly a focus which we, like in the robotics, focus more on general industry. And with the TS business and the rice business, we will have a strong global foothold in general industry. And that's also the reason why we bought rice 1 year ago.
Okay, just one quick follow-up on the 25 to 30 million that you gave Mr. Moon. So, and is it really that your Q3 is more towards 30 million, Q2 more towards 25? So what I'm just really trying to figure out here is really what has driven the 3 million EBIT improvement quarter on quarter, because you said it was, I think, minus 3 in second quarter, and now it's a very, very slight EBIT positive number here in the third quarter. So is it really operating leverage? Is it really mix? Or what is really the driving forces behind the very, very supportive EBIT development at Rice?
Okay. Yeah, it was the same level in quarter two and three. It's not that the top line is somehow inducing the higher EBIT. It's the measures we are doing there in our efficiency program to a better execution of the project. Mainly, is one of the big factors.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Before we come to the next question, I'd like to give you some update information. As you have seen today, we were placing our capital increase of 1.79 million shares, and we just got the okay, so the shares are placed at 49 euro per share, which gives Peter a cash in of 88 million. This was really to also finance our Swisslog acquisition now, and we have done this because, as I also at the beginning mentioned, we are including the undertakings above 50%, so this gives us also a good balance sheet and a good financing structure to execute the transaction. That's just news from the legal department and from the board.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now go to Lucy Terrier of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations on the quarter. I had a couple of questions which maybe sound a little bit like follow-up on to what you discussed before, but I was wondering if you could comment a little bit on the disconnect that we are kind of seeing between the very impressive growth in system orders and more modest growth in robotic orders. So what I mean by that is, if the OEMs are investing massively in system, shouldn't we be seeing some impact on the robotics market environment, auto-related? And also, it seems that the absolute value of GI robotics order is more stable than significantly growing. So that was my first question. Secondly, maybe something shorter on the margin. I was wondering, in robotics, whether there was any specific mix effect in this quarter that could maybe, I mean, either imply that this that level of margin is sustainable or not. And also, regarding the consulting fee costs that you incurred in the third quarter related to the Swisslog acquisition, which division or which area did it impact? So I was kind of trying to calculate the underlying margin. So that was question number two. And then finally, in terms of cash flow generation, it seems actually stronger than expected, and also stronger than the comments you had made at the beginning of the year regarding a free cash flow number for the full year. So what's the guidance now on that?
Thank you, Lucy. Let me start with the first question, and I think the others Peter will answer. Clearly, what we have seen in 2014, that robotics, we are heading towards 800 million for the full year, which is something like going from 750 to 800. So we have an increase of a middle single-digit number, 7 to 8% growth for the year. And we see that the robotic market is really globally picking up more and more, and that the trend of robotic-based automation is continuing. On system side, we are really consistently working on the GI side. You can see that GI is growing week by week and quarter by quarter, but that's something where we have added Agilos, where we add in salespeople, and you have also seen that we again added salespeople for the GI piece to come in closer to the customers. So for robotics, it's really a steady, very, adding products, adding salespeople, and we see also for the next year the growth potential, that we will grow the robotic business another 5 up to 10%. Clearly, we want to be on the higher end, and we see this ongoing. Systems is a different business, and we know that the big projects are coming into systems. So what we achieved in systems was maybe 2 years ago where we had 85% of automotive contracts. Now we see that we, for example, gained this aerospace contract. And why did we gain the aerospace contract? Because we have the know-how and the products to offer unique solutions. So once you have a robot or a component in your robotic business, and you can offer a USP on the system side, you can do much more bigger sales number in the system side. So I think that shows, and we have seen in the third quarter this big contract from an aerospace company, which is going in the close to 100 million. So it's something where the impact on the system side, if you have a fantastic product, which we have, is much higher. So I think we are going to continue to grow in the robotics piece, and we want to grow like the IFR, like which IFR is stating some 10% growth, and we have to see that we do at least 10%. We want to gain market share, so we have to grow faster than the market. And based on the component which we develop for the robotic market, we have to work on solutions, and the solutions can give us a much higher leverage on sales. And I think that we have seen on aerospace, and that we might also see in other markets like RISE, where the uniqueness of KUKA can help us to grow the business in addition to the IFR robotic growth.
Then I would now step in and answer your question regarding robotics. Yeah, we had several effects there in quarter three, which helped us to increase the profitability. First is that the sales level was the highest ever, and growth is helping increasing our profitability per se. That's for sure and very important for us. So there is a volume effect. Then another explanation is that service was at highest level, and general industry too had record sales levels, and they have higher margins than automotive business. So that should help to increase profitability too. We had some positive product mix effects. The Agilus and some old products we disconnected and sold more of KRC4 and Quantec. So that were several effects helping our profitability. And then on top of that, then we had the efficiency program and the effects there. Then your next question was regarding consultancy costs. We had something like 5 million in Q3. We booked it. That's due to due diligence cost, legal advice, consultancy cost regarding our Swisslog transaction. And we booked it on group level. It's not in the results of systems or robotics. Your last question was regarding cash flow. Yes, we had a really good cash flow in quarter three, more than 40 million free cash flow. That was a little higher than usually we can expect something in quarter three because of a cash in we should have gotten in Q2 already. We got at the beginning of Q3. That's a part of the explanation why we had a relatively low cash flow in quarter two. We mentioned that already in August when we had the call regarding Q2. And we had one cash in from Q4 already in Q3. So from both sides, we had some extraordinary cash in payments. So for quarter four, I would not expect that high free cash flow. And what is a good guidance? I think something like 80 million, a little more than 80 million free cash flow we can expect for the full year.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you much, ma'am. We'll now go to Mr. Stefan Augustin of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. Again, coming back on robotics and GI a little bit more. You mentioned that the Agilus was selling very, very good. If I recall that correctly, the Agilus is a product that is not really cannibalizing other or older GI products of yours. So what part of GI is actually, let's say, declining if the Agilus is so successful that we come out finally at the end flattish in the orders? That is one. And the other one, you were explaining, let's say, positive mix effects and so on in the robotics business. And I also assume from the lower automotive order intake in that quarter that sales share of the automotive part was also lower. However, why do I not see that in the gross margin in that quarter? It has increased year over year, fully fine. There's the efficiency measures. But why has it come down from Q2?
Okay. I think first of important, it's very important that the Agilus is for KUKA a new product, which we launched 2012. So it's not cannibalizing anything else. Until 2012, we were selling a Denso product through our channels. Now, beginning of 2012, we had our own product in the range of 6 to 10 kilos. So it's nothing where we have any effect on cannibalization. The number is we have this year already above 1,250 robots. We're going to have we are targeting something like 3,000 robots of the Agilus at least because this market is very important to further step into the GI market. And as you can see, Agilus is very successful in the U.S., in Europe, and also in China. If you compare the numbers in GI year on year from last year to this year, you can see that we are adding. We are gaining market share. We are adding also to sales and order intake. Peter will comment on the quarter, but I think in total, it's important that Agilus is adding to our path and strategy to further go into GI.
Yes. Yeah. And regarding your
sorry, just a A quick follow-up. The 3,000 target is not for this year. This is your general midterm target.
That's our, when we were launching it, we were giving some guidance. How do we expect? How big is the market of this small robot? And at this time, 2012 was the fair. In 2013, we had the first year. In 2014, we're going higher. But the midterm goal is to have 3,000 plus in Agilus. That was a target we gave, I think, last year.
Your question regarding the gross margin, why is it not higher in Q3 than in Q2? There are several effects. One for sure is the yen. The yen is not helping us to increase the gross margin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, as probably again you outlined, Agilus is growing. It is not cannibalizing. So what is declining?
You have in mind order intake or revenue,
yes,
or what?
No, the order intake from general industries. If we are flattish at this point in time and the Agilus is an increasing part, what is the declining part?
No, we have no special declining part. We have some. I think there is nothing where. No,
it's volatility of a quarter. Yeah, that some customer orders are coming in Q2 and not in Q3. It's not linear. Yeah, but there is really nothing special. What is declining? Yeah.
Okay.
Last
Thank
year
you
we
very
had
much.
We had this mid in mid we had an order, a big one, in the last year in Q2, which did not come this year, but that was clear that it was a one-time effect. But there is not a real decline.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Augustin. Ladies and gentlemen, now we'll go to Mr. Jasko Tetsic of DZ Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. Some questions left. First one, your margin in the systems business organically, or your organic systems business, is very strong. Could you give us a feeling, what do you expect, how this will continue going forward? Are you expecting to hold this high margins, and for what reason do you expect this? Secondly, your outlook looks still cautious, even if you become more optimistic on both segment margin outlooks. So what are the reasons behind that? Can we expect any more cost, extra cost relating to the Swisslog issue? And then finally, could you highlight or give me an indication how your robotics business is now linked, or is it tighter linked to your core business with Swisslog due to the cross-selling potential, or is the robotics business still kind of separate unit that could also be operated solo, or is it now more crucial for your business so that the close link with the robotics and systems and Swisslog is a competitive advantage of KUKA?
Let me start with the margin and systems. You see this strong margin development. You look back the last 3 or 5 years, and now we are organically around 7%, which is really a great success of the team and also shows the potential of a global company. Now, if you look at the global landscape we are today and compared to last year, we have close to €500 million in the U.S. market. We have the benefit of the stronger dollar in the last quarter. And we also see that the U.S. market is very positive. Going forward to the next year, it's a little bit early to talk about 15 and 16 in this group, but I think clearly we see something of at least 6% for systems for the coming years. And we are confident with the backlog we have that we are going to have at least 6% for 2015 ongoing. For the outlook, we are in the middle of taking over on the process of acquiring the Swisslog shares. We had this advisory cost of 5 million in Q3 for this acquisition. And clearly, in integrating Swisslog, we will have more costs to come. It's clearly if we had the integration cost of Rise, which we had in the first half. But I think it's based on the 1.5 billion of sales, the outlook of at least 2 billion and 6.5%. It would be comfortable to deliver this message to you and also to our shareholders. On the model, I did not 100% get the message or the question, but I think for us it's important, and that's also shown on page 8 and 9, that we at KUKA have a unique situation. KUKA is a company which is great in automation, robotic-based automation, and we are offering the component, the robot, the driving platform, end effectors, like the products. We offer solutions based on our products, and we can offer turnkey solutions. And this we can offer in the automotive area, in the aerospace area, and in future we also want to offer this in the warehouse, in logistics piece, and also in other areas. And we want to work with our customers together in this market, automotive, aerospace, electronics, machine tool, consumer goods, in service robotics, and together with our customers define if they are happy to get components, robots, end effectors, or different things, if they are happy to get or to work together with us on sales, or if they want to have turnkey. So the robotic and the systems business are integrated. There is no, you know, it's all GmbH in the end. However, it's divisions, and the divisions are working together. And I think this is important, that we combining the know-how of the component with the know-how of the process, product and process, and this makes the USP of KUKA. And I think, therefore, it's also Swisslog adding. We are adding knowledge. We are adding the knowledge of material flow, which you also can sell in automotive and aerospace. And this is our model, that we have both knowledges, know-hows. We have the product, the robotic know-how, and the process know-how of how our process, for example, how is welding, how is gluing be done, how are other processes done, riveting. And this combination is unique, and I'm convinced that we are going to have further growth in these different growth sectors, which are shown on page 9, with this model.
Okay, so I got you right that you see a competitive advantage offering robots and your project know-how in automation.
Yes.
Okay, and then maybe also one question regarding extra cost. I didn't really understand it, so can we expect additional one-off costs in Q4 apart from those integration, PPA, and transaction costs which will occur if the deal is would be concluded? I mean, such consulting fees or advising costs and so on.
No, only a little bit, but the 5 million is more than 80% of it, looking at it today. Yeah, there will not be much more.
Okay, thank you.
And PPA will only be then a topic after closing of the deal, which we would expect mid or end of December, so that would not be that is a topic of next year then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And now we'll go to Sebastian Hubert of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. One question from my side is regarding China. Can you please give us an update where we stand here? I think the latest status was that you are about to deliver 4,000 robots out of your local factories in 2014, and you target about 5,000 next year. It would mean about fully loaded capacities. Where can we expect KUKA moving on in China and increasing capacities in that region? Thank you.
You know, I think on China, we opened the plant this year. We are on the 4,000 production for this year, and we are really on track for this. And for next year, we are planning 5,000. So I think with China, the market is growing fastest globally, and we are on track to have next year the 5,000 in China. clearly, if you look at the BRIC countries, China is by far the biggest part of BRIC, and you look at the order intake or the revenue from Prick, is it what is for the for in Q3? It is 17%. So you see that China is by far the biggest Prick market. We have some business in Brazil, small business in Russia, as you know, and small business in India. So in China, we are on our way. And you know, if you have close to 150 million in China for robotics, close 100 million in systems, and then we have RISE, additional business in China, and also Swisslog will have another, I think, 80 million business in China. So we will give you more numbers for the future on how we see the Chinese potential. In total, we have revenue today for, just got the number here, we have 15% for the first 9 months in China, 225 million with a group in our group, excluding Swisslog.
Okay, thank you. And then maybe one follow-up question, if I may, on the robotics side. You flagged that you expect about 10% EBIT margin at least for the next year. What is the main driver behind that, coming from 10.5 plus this year? Is it just the yen, or is it also kind of a mix effect?
I think it's mainly the yen. Now, we try to work against it. We try to push more GI, and as you can see in the third quarter, the impact is coming from service. Service clearly a nice margin business, and the more we can increase our service and the more we can have added value services, the better the margin is. And, you know, it's early for 2015, but I think it's an indication that we want to have at least 10%. We want to be better, but just to give you an indication where the yen is, again, with the devaluation of the yen, this is headwind for us, and just give early heads up about this headwind.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you much, Mr. Hubert. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you wish to ask any questions, please press star 1. As
okay.
We have no further questions, I'll turn the call back over to the organizers for any additional closing remarks. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much for your attention, and if you have further questions, please don't hesitate to call us, and we wish you a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's presentation. We thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect. Thank you.